We are in the studio having just recorded episode 4 on the series that we've been doing on the world, and we just want to actually keep the mics rolling here for the tribe and go a little bit deeper, say some things that we weren't able to get in there. And I want to come back to this thing on artificial community and take it way past social media. There is a trend, there is a phenomena in human nature toward this global oneness, this global society. And all the way back in the 80s, there was a song that came out, We Are the World, was written by Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie. It was sung by a ton of different people. They got a bunch of artists to come in, David Bowie and yada yada kind of thing. And it was a fundraising effort. I believe it was for Africa, if I'm right, for the famines going on at the time there. But there, you know, the videos around it, the vibe around it is, hey, we really are just all one. And over the years, you've seen a number of very hip, cool, trendy things like that. Read this article, Zuckerberg was trying to promote again the importance of Facebook in the world last year. And he says, in times like these, the most important thing we at Facebook can do is develop a social infrastructure to give people the power to build a global community that works for all of us. And I just want to say, I'm not good with that. I'm not good with that. Like, we actually don't all share the same values. We actually don't. We don't all come from the same place. And what I'm trying to say is there's a false kingdom there. It's a false kingdom. Like, I love the kingdom. And in the kingdom is every tribe and tongue and nation. In the kingdom is the beauty of all the children of God brought together through Jesus Christ. But what I'm pointing out is, you know, it was a speech that Clinton gave, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. You have these calls for global oneness kind of thing without Jesus Christ. Mm. God is not creating that kingdom. It's a false kingdom. It's a false kingdom of God in false community, you know.
Yeah, and can we just say the two times we have gotten closest to a global community happening was universalization in China under Mao, 50 million people died, and post-Bolshevism, 40 million people died in Russia, so okay?
Under Stalin,
Your global family is a community of death. Also, one other thing, whenever there's like the topic of like, we're forming a community, like, the thing that just drives me crazy is, I just look at it and go, have you ever been a member of a community? Like, it's not like fun in the way that you're putting out there.
It is a pain in the ass.
It is. It's like, there's like a similar thing that happens in like a lot of Christian relating of young people that I know where they're like, oh man, she's like my sister. I'm like, you don't have a sister, do you? Because having a sister sucks, man. Like, it's awesome and she would irritate you and the indifference, but like, it's the same thing of,
yes,
we have this, it's like this, we're going to have this resolved community and go like, community is extremely hard. I don't know what you're building, but it doesn't resemble the difficult entity that is the redemptive community that we actually are given to live in.
I think, again, this is, you know, a segment for our tribe to go deeper. And so to be honest, like, where I go with this is the reminder that our soul is eternal, but it's also finite. We have a limited capacity. And there's some energy that comes with this global community that feeds ego. It's this idealized image both of self and of the world. Mm-hmm. And it's simply not true. And I remember as I was being discipled and growing in the kingdom, you know, I came across some writing by Parker Palmer. And there's some of his stuff, you know, he's a pacifist and there's some stuff that just I don't align with. And yet, he presents the gospel of limitations. And it was the first time that I had an older man approach life from the blessing that is the painful limitations.
Right.
Of the human reality.
Right.
And that is just undervalued in our culture. But I firmly believe that the path to true life, true community, true connection is so often found in what we can't be, what we can't do, what we don't have access to. I mean, and it just takes a lot of humility to begin to be honest with facing our limits.
Oh, Morgan, you said the world kind of underplays it. No, no, no. The world hates it. It hates.
That's well said, John.
Limitations. The false self.
Yeah.
In us, the flesh, as the scripture describes it, hates limitations.
Right.
I will not get old. I will use medicine and surgery and pharmaceuticals and my personal training coach and everything it possibly can find, my tanning studio. Mm. I will not age, right? Or I will not stay in this difficult relationship.
Yeah.
I'm bailing or what, you know. No.
So let me ask you a question about this. This is deeper. This is for our disciples. Our friends are out there and they're saying, I'm with you. That's what I want. Like, I see it in my life. This is exposing and I want the kingdom. Like, help me out. How do you begin to bring resolution when you start thinking of the world hating this and yet the kingdom saying this is the path of life? Like, what do you begin to do with it?
Everywhere you are engaged currently in the flight from reality, you begin to choose a 180. So where is the flight from reality for you? We could give a whole podcast on death. We have removed death from the reality of the world. You know that graveyards used to be in next to churches. Like, it was literally the front yard of the church was the graveyard.
So
and they weren't called graveyards. They were called churchyards. And they did that for a reason. One, it was honor. It was honor. It was, we honor our dead right here in our most sacred place in our community, right? We're not putting them way out somewhere. We never see them or remember them. So part of it was honor, but a much bigger part of that was, remember, O man, that from dust thou came and from dust thou, you know, to dust thou will return. Like, Ash Wednesday is a really good thing, gang, you know, to have that put on your forehead, right? The ashes of your mortality. And so we are in full flight from death and the culture. And if you just begin to, you know, Psalm 90, I think it is, Moses' psalm, right? Teach us to number our days so that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Where are you in flight from reality? Simple choices. We turn our heat off now at night in our house. And I do it so that when I wake up in the morning, it's freezing. That's a good thing for a human being, to get out of bed and be cold. And what I do, I don't just turn the heat back on. I actually put a couple layers on. There's a sweater, gang. There's a jacket. And make my tea, and it's still cold. That is actually good. Like, just everywhere you are in the flight toward convenience,
yes,
the flight toward ease,
yes,
the flight towards the simplistic. You know, don't use emoticons anymore. Text as little as possible. Have real conversations, like all that, right?
Well, I appreciate.
And that's all in episode five, gang. So if you hadn't heard episode five on this, as you're getting this piece, like go back and listen to that, because we did unpack that in episode five.
Yeah, the words that come to mind as you share that is just honest inventory. Honest inventory. Like, if you sincerely are engaging in this, then pause. Slow down long enough to just consider a day. Consider a day in your rhythm of life and say, what is real and what is artificial? Where is the pull strongest of flight from reality? And I think an honest inventory will start showing us many things that God wants to speak to in our lives.